Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. Today, we're exploring the dynamic shift occurring in the corporate payments landscape with a keen focus on accelerated adoption of faster payments and overarching trends towards payments modernization. Joining me today to delve into the pressing need for organizations to move away from traditional methods like checks, which not only impede efficiency, but also pose significant risks or fraud, is James Richardson, Head of Global Product Solutions at Bottomline, and Albert Bodine, Director of Commercial Payments at Javelin Strategy and Research. It's great to have you both here today. James, you have a wealth of knowledge and expertise on this very topic. From your perspective and from conversations you're having with your customers, what's happening in the corporate payments landscape today?
So a great way of kicking off this discussion, I like to think about the office of the CFO or corporate treasurers, where they're sat. And this team, this function, are responsible for quite a bit within an organization. They've got cash management responsibilities, accounts receivable, accounts payable, treasury, forecasting, financial compliance, reporting, deal hubs now being more proactive within a business. They're highly active. They're highly pressured functions that exist within corporates. So they're time poor, and it's really important to have really crisp conversations and articulate back and forth how we think there can be kind of mutual partnerships and conversations where we can really add value.
Yeah. And, you know, I concur, James, I think this is the most exciting, certainly for as long as I've been in the payments arena, the most exciting time. And I would parrot a lot of the things you said. Instant payments is incredibly interesting. We don't even know what the impact of instant payments is going to be yet. We consult quite a bit with our Fortune 500 clientele on how they need to be partnering with fintechs. We consult with fintechs on how they should be positioning themselves with the Fortune 500. And indeed, a lot of those conversations stem from, you know, the large corporations simply not being staffed to pursue these new revenue streams. So this sort of leads to a theme of you really need to know how to partner with payments right now. You really need to understand that something that we spoke about before, strategic coexistence of pay types. You know, where are instant payments going to exist in the ecosystem? Where is wire going to be? Where is ACH going to be? I think we all hope paper checks will go away, but they're probably going to be around for a little while. So yeah, extremely exciting time. And I even think that 2024, we are going to see real sea change in corporate payments. And I'm excited to see what that's going to be.
100%. Yeah, you mentioned about kind of strategic partnerships and consulting with corporates at all levels, frankly, but certainly in the mid to large, the multinational corporates, we're definitely seeing, and certainly I'm experiencing more conversations about where to find good information. What are the sources? What are the watering holes to go and find out what's changing in the industry? Because there's a lot of information out there, and it's really important to kind of find out what best in class is doing. And it used to be speak to your bank and your bank will give you all the information you need. And actually, you now see more multi-bank relationships with corporates more than before. And that's, you know, that I think that's just kind of the time that we're in, especially with sort of some of the changes in, you know, the banks that have been leading the pack. In over the years, there's been a lot of change in the banking industry. The corporates now recognize that they actually want to be more independent for themselves. They want to have more independent advice, not just be so reliant on their bank, which is great. I think it's all of these things are, it speaks well for competition. It speaks well for making sure that corporates get the best solution that's fit for them.
Yeah, and I think one of the incubators for this approach is going to be in cross-border. And it, you know, it's a scenario, just as you said, that was almost entirely reliant on correspondent banking, large legacy banks partnering to be able to transfer funds. Well, you know, we have cards that have really jumped into the space with their global highway. And then again, with instant payments, I'm really anxious to see how instant payments makes a splash in the space. I'm actually interested in your thoughts on this, James. I don't think anybody exactly knows how it's going to make a splash. But if we use the micro set of India and Brazil, SEPA, ASEAN, where FedNow and RTP are going in the United States, there has to be something coming around the bend that is cross-ocean and cross-continent, I would think.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's, I think we have the, we're in a fortunate position to think and speak globally around business payments. And you can see how different countries are at different levels of adoption. And it's curious to see the uptake in some of these initiatives. I think one of the things that I observe in perhaps some of the more European markets would be more payment types, instant payments, faster payments, all of those things create choice. They create choice for CFOs to really consider what is the most effective and efficient way of making and receiving payments. And I guess that kind of ties with the modernization of payments.
I'd love to like talk about that a bit more, because I feel like you can't talk about instant payments without talking about payments modernization. Specifically, James, too, you had mentioned that you're seeing so much change happening within the sector, and we're just seeing that shift happen. So I know that payments modernization can encompass many things. You know, what should organizations be prioritizing?
So payments modernization, I think that's, if we use that phrase, it can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different CFOs, depending on where they stand. So if you're in corporate treasury and you're thinking of how I'm going to modernize my payments, it may be you're thinking about moving from check. So moving from paper-based payments into electronic-based payments. It may be that you're already making electronic payments globally and you're working with your banks, to your banking relationships to make those payments, but actually you want to make cross-border payments more effectively, more efficiently. And I think that we're at a curious point in 2024 where, you know, modernizing, the ability to modernize through connected solutions is far greater now than it's ever been. So let's pick on check, because check is something that came up a couple of moments ago. And I find the stats around check still, you know, quite wonderful. So in fact, I think it's over 90% of organizations are using check for incoming payments. 86% use checks for outgoing payments. And that was from AFP payments survey in 2022. That's a significant majority of payments that are still being done by check today. Unbelievable. And it's not because, by the way, it's not because there's no other choice. It's because it's just the way in which things have been done for so long. And it's difficult to break that cycle. But once you do, and the eyes are open to corporate treasurers, especially when they realize that I can make electronic payments and I can do it securely, then things start to change. And then you start getting into a new wave of change within an organization. So cracking the behavior is critical. It's a cultural thing, frankly. And we see this, we see some of this change has already been done in other countries. But I think the next few years in cracking checks within the US is going to be such a significant change to overcome for corporate treasurers. They don't want to process the paper on both sides, but there is a real concern around fraud. So finding the best ways to make electronic payments, especially through secure business payment networks. Of course, you know, bottom line will be there to help and support on that front. But finding networks to make electronic business payments is just critical to making that change.
Yeah. And, I love to pick on checks, James. And I think I've written probably way too much about the elimination of checks in the last year. And indeed, this week, I'm turning out a new paper on strategies for eliminating checks. But one that has come about, because we're certainly not seeing the government mandate in the United States anyway, the government mandate this out of the payment system. So one of the, or an initiative that I've been seeing more and more by corporations, and one that I, you know, bottom line recently got an award for helping corporates with, is as an ESG initiative. With all of the, certainly the largest corporations being under the microscope for DEI and ESG initiatives, this is a really seemingly easy one to go after. And, you know, to be able to check that box. I'm not saying that getting rid of checks is necessarily a simple thing, but I would suspect it's a little more attainable than eliminating carbon emissions. So we're seeing that more and more. And I think it really could be one of the areas that at least influences getting rid of checks. It's just something that they can put on their resumes as an ESG initiative, and maybe it'll, you know, help us to get there quicker.
Yeah, I agree, Albert. I think for ESG, that is definitely a hotter topic probably hotter in the last couple, in the last year than it has been in the previous four or five. And that's board level conversation. And it's definitely a driver. It is becoming a driver. I think, you know, if I kind of come down a level from board into, say, finance teams, treasury management teams, and it's interesting to see how much of that is now starting to drip down to that level. I'd say it's kind of it's on the outside. It feels like it's close, but if you have the conversations at that sort of finance and treasury team level, it's still more metric driven. It's still more, you know, understanding working capital management. It's understanding how am I going to improve my cash visibility, my metrics around digital transformation and attracting and retaining talent that are going to help me with the next change. So, you know, it's like ESG is definitely a pressure. It just feels like it's going to be maybe another kind of 12, 24 months before it's becoming more of the reason to drive that's sort of embedded within the organization. It's coming. It's definitely coming. And it's a topic on buyers' lists. I'm not sure how much weighting it's got yet, but it's coming. It's coming.
And I guess I would just add into that I don't think we're going to see eradication of checks until we truly see a concerted effort by the largest corporations in the world to get rid of them, because the smaller companies certainly don't have enough influence. But I'm talking about initiatives to the point of saying we are mandating that we are not going to receive or issue checks any longer. And I really believe we're going to have to get to that point if the eradication still continues to be at a trickle. And oh, by the way, with per item check amounts increasing, not decreasing. So a bunch of interesting factors in that. But I would agree with you. It's I think a lot of companies, a lot of people like me are just looking for any reason to get rid of checks, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And even if I look at some areas that have been making a quicker transition, perhaps, it's still struggling to completely eradicate them. But once you've changed the behavior and people have really started to see and realize the benefit, then it's like a bit of a snowball effect. So I think we've just got to keep driving that thing through and see electronic payments and choice ultimately become the favorite for corporate treasurers.
James, just a bit earlier, you touched upon fraud, and I want to take a moment to really hone in on it because it's such a huge topic. I feel like we keep hearing more about it every single day. You know, naturally, there's an emphasis on the concerning news about fraud, but I'm wondering if you could give us any good news on that front, any best practices in terms of, like, you know, spotting and detecting fraud?
Tip number one is get off a check. just a link to our previous conversation. Look, we're at a pretty tough crossroads. So the fraudsters operate as if they're businesses. That's what people have got to realize and appreciate. If a corporate is targeted, they're not being targeted by luck and hoping that they're going to find their way in. It's deliberate. It's purposeful. They believe that they have an opportunity. And as has been said many times before, it's not a question of if by when, but how many times. And I think the opportunity for corporates is actually to kind of look around at best practice and not become the laggard. If you're the laggard, so if you've got your head in the sand over fraud, actually you kind of, you know, the risk is that you'll get hit twice. One is it'll affect your cash flow because you're making slower payments. Secondly, fraudsters will prey on those that are the weakest or the slowest to move. So you don't want to be in that category. You really want to make sure that you're kind of moving with the times. So there are initiatives to help with reducing fraud. There's kind of, you know, you've got insider fraud threats as well as outsider fraud threats outside of an organization. So fraud prevention hurts an organization pretty significantly. And there was a report saying 65% of organizations were victims of check fraud in the last year. That's significant. You know, you're now into the overwhelming majority, and over $6.5 billion was lost to business email compromise. These are very significant numbers. Now, what can you do to reduce it? So The first thing I'd say is the finances, the money that flows through an organization, belongs to every employee. It's the responsibility of the employee to make sure that their money is safeguarded, the business finance is safeguarded. It's appropriate to challenge. It's appropriate to say, I'm not sure about that payment, and to go on and verify if it's going to its intended beneficiary. You've seen a rise in invoice fraud. I mentioned business email compromise. But now you're starting to see things like deep fake videos and audios. And the first kind of fraud occurred only a couple of years ago, where a fraudster was purporting to be a CEO using audio to convince someone in finance to make that invoice payment to someone that was in that was actually going to a fraudster's account. So these things are out there, and organizations need to wake up to that. So there is technology that can help. There are electronic payment systems, networks that can help with the reduction in fraud. Things like account verification can help. Systems that are or businesses that are leverage open banking can benefit from account level verification, and actually bottom line a provider of that within the UK, but also using business payment networks where you have that absolute verification of that relationship between the account sender and the account receiver is becoming more and more critical as people want to protect their funds. So it's definitely something that you cannot leave to the side. You've got to focus on this, and it's got to be a priority every year within the new organization. They've got to focus on what's changed. And I mentioned about the watering holes. You've got to go to your watering hole for fraud and identify what good looks like in terms of fraud prevention.
I was just going to remark that, you know, felons love checks, and you gave the stat before, James, about the 80 plus percentage of companies that are still using checks. And I'll quote a stat by FinCEN, 350,000 cases of check fraud in 2021. In 2023, 680,000 cases of check fraud. So, you know, this is easy, as we say in the States, this is easy pickings for fraudsters. And, you know, as long as checks remain in the system, they're going to be targeted. And the fraudsters will always be one step ahead of mitigation efforts with regard to checks. So again, obviously we both agree, stop using checks. If you're going to continue, then make sure you have a super good organization that you're partnered with that can help you with some of these fraud efforts or these fraud initiatives. So
100%. I couldn't agree more, Albert. And if I look at initiatives like in the UK and in Europe, where they've launched programs such as confirmation of payee, This is where banks initially offered this as a consumer level service to make sure that you knew who you were paying. So the account beneficiary details matched up the name to the account details. And then that was so popular, it was then made available to corporates. And as a result of these initiatives, it means that corporates then, they are then in control of doing that check before the payment leaves their organization. And this is especially important as corporates want to become more independent, especially if they're thinking about broader payments beyond their own shores. You know, they're thinking internationally in global business payments. These initiatives, whilst they may just be currently available in specific countries, they are working their way through the rest of the world. So I like to look at what some countries are doing and seeing how this kind of ripple effect starts to take place. And, you know, I think we should hold some confidence that these initiatives work. They help organizations. But just to underscore your point earlier about check, you got to get off a check. Definitely. If you want to see the benefits of other initiatives, then definitely move to electronic.
Indeed.
You've both covered a lot of ground thus far. You know, as we come to the conclusion here, James, I'll start with you first, but any final thoughts that you'd like to leave the audience with, aside from the diminishment of checks?
Yeah, we've done checks quite well today. I guess I'd close on a couple of small things. One, for anyone listening that's curious as to what is out there, just embrace some of that technology that is available to use. The as a service solutions mean that organizations don't have to rely on funky on-premise software technology like they used to have maybe 5, 10, and certainly 15 years ago. There is rapid time to value. So you can work with providers out there that can help you with connecting your solutions and operating as more of a strategic payments partner. That is out there today. I would really encourage corporate treasurers to take a look. And rapid time to value, meaning you can be onboarded within days or weeks compared to kind of certainly months or years like it used to be. And my final piece is to say, just recognize, we talked about kind of the payment landscape changing quite significantly. It definitely feels like a smaller world. But go and have a look at what other countries are doing. You'll be encouraged as to what is coming your way if it feels like things are slow. And look for partners that can help you with in identifying what is coming your way so that you can prepare. Initiatives such as the ISO 20022, changes within Fedwire, new payments architecture, all of these things, they're not just for people to kind of react to. I encourage listeners to think about understanding what they can benefit from, not just so that it can make a reduction in the cost of making a payment, but perhaps it can be aligned to their strategic business payments as well, their strategic payments priorities and their overall business strategy. We've certainly seen things like that take place for many corporate treasuries and multinational corporates that I work with. So there's a lot of optimism on the horizon. There's a lot to get your head around. And go find some trusted payments partners that you can work with that will help you navigate those changes.
I was just going to end with partner with an exclamation point. If you would like to see improvements in efficiency, costs, and long-term sustainability, I would suggest not trying to attempt this internally. There are partners that are adept at this, that are experts at this, and I couldn't be any more adamant in my research and the podcast that I've done that it's time to be looking outside your organization to see gains in these areas.
Thank you both so much for sharing your insights and perspective. And thanks to everyone for tuning in today. Be sure to subscribe and stay updated on the latest Payments Journal episodes. And don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and colleagues.